This portion of the show is brought to you by Just Wireless.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
So I don't know if this was fortuitous or what, but I started off my day today. Usually I'm sitting there on the phone, and Mark Houghton, Bruce Siblinger's here with me. Usually I sit on the phone in the morning, because sometimes I text you at like 6 in the morning when I'm doing show research.
I'm trying to change my life. I'm trying to get up earlier and go to bed earlier, but it's kind of like my kindness. You remember that New Year's resolution?
It
didn't last, and this doesn't seem like it's going to last either. So you can text me as early as you want. I just leave the phone far from my bed.
Okay. Well, I will still do that, and Bruce just turns his off, I think. You don't even know. But I do show research. And usually I'm like pulling articles, looking at things, seeing what's going on and this and that. But today I decided to look up old trucks. I was like, okay, I want to get an old truck. Like we're talking 60s, 70s, something, a pickup truck, right?
Yeah, 70s, no computer in it.
No computer. I want roll down windows. I want a tape deck, maybe even an 8-track player, something like that.
I have 8-track stuff.
You do have it. So do you have like music and stuff?
Yeah. I've loaded it up.
Can I check it out?
Nobody touches my stuff.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Don't touch his audio system.
Mark has a cassette.
If it helps, I have it.
Okay, good. So anyway, I'm like looking at old trucks, and I'm like, yeah, I want to get an old truck because, you know, like carburetor and all this. And
super easy to fix, right?
Super easy to fix. I can get parts. And I really think that we're heading to a point where it's so technical. These cars are getting so technical that you're getting to the point. And Bruce, your Tesla is, I think, a pretty prime example. Any new car nowadays is like, do you just lease it? Do you even own anything at this point? Because it's just like, and you mentioned before it came out, a subscription type model. I'm just going to borrow this car for a while.
I had a super weird experience today because I drove up to what I thought was your house. And then I'm thinking, well, I've got the wrong house because it was just the wrong place. And then I realized it's because there was no Tesla out front.
Yeah, his Tesla's
good. So Bruce he's like this guy that is in the extremes. He's got the Tesla full EV.
Yeah.
And now today he's got the Hummer, which probably gets 8 miles to gallon.
If that.
Yeah.
Life's all about balance.
Maybe 5.
It's all about balance. No, but I was like, okay, I want to get an old truck because I think that, and don't take automobile advice for me because I've never made a dime on. I could have made money on a vehicle.
Disclaimer? We're going to be all disclaimers.
Yeah, it's all disclaimers. It's all those pillow cushion things. Those tags.
Well, everything I say, I'll go on the record for.
Yeah, well, you do that. I'll put the disclaimer out there.
His lawyer's grinning right now. He's like, more money coming my way.
Bruce got a good lawyers on retainer. No, but I think that as things get more and more technical, people are going to be like clamoring for some of the good old fashioned stuff. Like the kids say, the millennials and stuff, and even younger, they're going to be like, wow, roll down with the crank?
Yeah.
Wow. Stick shift, things like that. And plus, I want to be able to work on them. So I was like, okay, let me look at these trucks and let's see what we got out there. And then I saw, not too long after that, an article here from Detroit News. Basically, are they coming for your old cars? Because you know these rabid environmental wacko lunatics, they're trying to ruin everything. Check this out.
Here's how you define it, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
Three levels of cars. If there's two keys, one for the door, one for the ignition, the government's coming for it for sure.
Right.
If there's one key, they're probably coming for it. And if it's just a key fob in your pocket, you're probably okay.
You're good. Okay. Well, this in London, they have this plan known as the Ultra Low Emissions Zone. It's ULEZ, ULEZ. It's going to levy. They started doing this and they're expanding it.
Can you say that again?
ULEZ.
Okay.
ULEZ, Ultra Low Emission Zone. So I think they're expanding it to even the suburbs and stuff. So they have these license plate readers. They have these, it takes photos of your license and then they know.
Like they do with the toll roads here.
Exactly. So it's registered to Bruce Siblinger. It's registered to Mark Howard. Okay. I see it's a, what year's your Hummer?
91.
You're going to pay out the nose. So if you were in London, they would pull you up and say, Earth hater. Bruce is an Earth hater. And you're getting charged, it's like $16 per day to drive that gas-guzzling, earth-killing car around.
$16, that's almost like a mile's worth of fuel.
Yeah, something like, especially over there, right? And that's so they're saying it's most cars and vans built before 2006 and pre-2015 diesel vehicles This was originally introduced in London in 2019. It was expanded in 2021 to the city's inner suburbs. From Tuesday, so from today, it covers all of Greater London, including the sprawling outer suburbs where more than half the city's 9 million people live. So they're actually, they've started.
An amazing imposition.
Yeah.
You said 2015, that means that if your vehicle doesn't use DEF, if it's not using diesel exhaust fluid.
Yes.
Because
that's the year they switched. And 2006 and earlier for most cars. I mean, there's going to be some, here's the point. And, you know, they can do whatever the heck they want over in London. I don't know if you've ever driven over there. I made the mistake in the early 2000s of renting a car at like city center type thing, and they actually had extra fees, like they called it congestion fees and this and that back then. And then I went the wrong way on a one way and a double decker bus tried to kill me, but that's a whole nother story.
No, you went the right way, the rest of that country went the wrong way, exactly. Just to be clear.
Yeah, exactly. So here's my point. When is this coming to other places? Could it come to America, or is it, can they force you to retrofit things here? Not only retrofit, but can they force you to say, you're no longer in service? I guess they could, because some cities have emissions and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't in Northern Arizona, but they do in Phoenix and Tucson.
If President Biden wakes up tomorrow morning with this idea, then you're forced.
He won't wake up with any idea.
There is no restriction.
Yeah.
You know, we're post-constitutional, post-legislative. Yeah. It's just whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so he wakes up and says, well, even at your local government, so because You in Phoenix, you have to get past emissions, and Tucson's, I believe, Tucson as well. So could they just say, oh, and by the way, we're having this extra fee because you have a gas-powered car and it's from prior to 2006.
Or you could just not pass emissions and therefore not drive it whatsoever.
Yeah. So here's a classic example. My sister, who doesn't have a ton of money, she bought a Dodge pickup truck, and it got to a point where it was still running, still perfectly driving vehicle, but it couldn't pass its emissions test.
Okay.
And she didn't have the money to fix it because it's got computer stuff on it. And so it sat there. And then, of course, if it sits there a while, you get other problems start to deteriorate. You get bad fuel in the tank, and it just gets more expensive to fix the thing. So they kind of forced her out of her car that way, saying, hey, we're going to make it, you're not going to pass your emissions, and it's going to be so expensive to fix, you're just going to be out of that car. And then she was actually forced to go buy another vehicle on credit that's newer.
Well, that was my next point on this. So that's what they're doing. Maybe they can't particularly say, okay, turn in your car. Well, they did do cash for clunkers. Remember, it was that under Obama, right?
They drill a hole in the engine.
Okay, think about that. Think about cash for clunkers, whatever that scheme was. I'm sure it had something to do with the environment, right? And they destroy a car that probably could have still been in service, lots of them. And they talk, and then they have the nerve to talk about the environment, that they care about the environment, right?
And all these cars went to junkyards.
Yeah, all these cars went to, you could have repurposed these cars. It's like when I hear, oh, your house is old and, you know, we need to knock it down so we can build a more efficient house. You had a good, the best thing is something that's standing.
Yeah,
something that's already made.
There's an amazing photo. If you just Google China electric car lots, there are currently 400,000 unused EVs that will never be sold in China.
Used up EVs, right?
No, they're brand new.
Brand new.
But they'll never be sold because there are 400 companies. 400 of the Chinese EV manufacturers have failed. So there's 400 companies out of business.
Wow.
That's 400 different marks that have no support.
Yeah.
Right? No future support. But also, and this is my complaint about the electric buses that were mandated. I said, any electric bus you buy now is going to look like a ridiculously bad decision 3 years from now, because this is rapidly evolving technology.
Old tech, yeah.
And same for mail trucks. But yet the post office and the school districts, they have 30-year, 40-year lifetime, especially school districts. I've seen 40-year-old buses driven by school districts, and now they've got buses that are going to look ridiculous after the third year.
Yeah.
Well, that was the point of this Chinese articles. There are several articles with different interpretations, but mostly they said, if you haven't sold an EV, it's like a banana. If you haven't sold it while it's still yellow, nobody wants it anymore because they're so much better the next year. And these didn't sell fast enough, and they got held up a little bit because of bankruptcy proceedings. And now there's 400,000 that have never been driven and will be destroyed.
Yeah, and China also has a plethora of housing. They have all these, they've been blowing up buildings, right?
Yep.
You know, because they built all this housing, this kind of shadow to pump up the housing market and this and that. And they're just sitting there. They're just sitting there empty. Mm-hmm. So they put all this finance money into it. They've got a heck of a problem over there. No, but okay, if they can do this in you know, over in London. They'll do it elsewhere, but then they claim they want to help the little person, the little guy, right? Oh, we want to help the poor. We want to help people who are struggling and this and that. Well, what could help somebody more than being able to find a used car? You know, the old junker, the old hoopty or whatever.
No, I'll tell you what could help them is if you put in free EV charging stations for bicycles and give them free electric bicycles.
Give them free e-bikes everywhere.
You would think I'm being sarcastic, and I kind of am, but in reality, the federal government is now funding EV stations for bicycles in New York. Mm. And in California, they're now almost fully subsidizing, almost giving away free bicycles, EV bicycles, e-bicycles, e-bikes, to the lower income people, which in California, they're defined as under $83,000 income.
Unbelievable. So when I left China after living there for a while, right after Nixon and Mao, one of my first things that I wrote up, and I said this on your show a couple of years ago, I said to understand Mao's China, you have to understand that the purpose of every person other than an upper party, other than a party member, than a middle to upper party member, the entire purpose of that being is to serve the state, serve the interests of the state.
It's becoming evident everywhere now.
So, you know, if you're saying, how does it help the little guy to not let them buy used cars?
I'm assuming they care.
Yes. And they don't care.
I don't right? know. But I do it to point out what hypocrites they are, and in hopes that folks out there who don't pay close enough attention realize, they say, wait a second. You want me to get out of my car. You want to get rid of used cars. You want to get rid of the gas engine, whatever the case may be. There's millions, hundreds of millions of these cars out there. I could go buy one for a few thousand dollars, and you want me to go buy a car for $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. I can't afford that. What planet are these people living on? And will the average person wake up to it soon enough, time?
And when you get that new car, it's going to be broken for four or five months at a time.
You better have that.
Bruce has multiple cars to back up, but
most people don't. It's like, that's my car to get to work.
In England, in London, they do things. And London's had pollution problems way back to when they were burning too much coal and stuff, and they banned fires and stuff in London. They've always had problems with pollution. I don't know why. In America, we do things different. We're not going to force people, you know, gun to their head to do things. We're going to say tax incentive, credits, rebates, free.
Yeah.
We're going to take the money via taxes from the people, from the populace, and then put it to the programs that the politicians want, whether it be house retrofits, EV cars, whatever.
Kind of like turn in the cash for clunkers. Okay, turn in your even $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 car.
Right. They didn't
and we're going to give you a $30,000 tax credit, you know, so you can go buy this $50,000, $60,000. And it's going to be good for the environment, and it's going to be good for, you know, the manufacturers as well. All right. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. Haven't thrown out the email yet. Plus, if you're listening to the podcast, please hit that subscribe button. All right. Thank you to Kim Dawson with Nova Home Loans. Look, if you're thinking about refinancing your home, Kim Dawson will be able to help you out. She did a great job for me on an investment property last year. I know interest rates have gone up quite a bit. I've got a little bit to help you out here. When you get to closing with Kim Dawson, you make sure you mention the Jeff Orbit Show. She's going to take really good care of you. You get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. So that's good. Every little bit helps nowadays. Now, Nova Home Loans is Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender. Nova makes decisions like a bank, and because they're also a broker, Kim Dawson has all access to all the best programs. So she can find you first-time buyers, maybe second homes, things like that. She'll be able to work with you. Even those off-the-grid properties. Call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458, or go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Okay, so here with Bruce Sidlinger and Mark Howitt as well. Let's talk about the ceiling fan thing, because it seems like they are trying to destroy everything and even the most idiotic things. I think of, you know, the ceiling fan, the big blades that are going around, Jeff, and you're like, why are they messing with this?
I have a question that's related to this, and it's going to go back to the cash for clunkers thing a little bit.
Okay.
So I forget how much money we spend on the cash for clunkers. Call it $1 trillion. It was a lot of money.
Okay.
Is it cheaper to get everybody into more efficient cars where we're less reliant on foreign oil, or is it cheaper to go to war to protect our oil interests?
Did you do the math?
I did not. I'm just asking. Okay. I'm throwing this out.
Have you ever done the math?
I like option three, which is we just harvest our own oil.
Well, yeah, but they don't even want to do that anymore.
Well, what about the idea of use up everybody else's and save ours for last?
They'll always find more because the price discovery. It'll be worth it to get the stuff they couldn't get because it'll go up a bunch more.
Okay.
So people will pay.
So going back to your
you're not going to run out of it, I guess is what I want to say.
Is it better to lower our energy use by ceiling fan restrictions and all these other things they come up with, or to spend that on defense because we need to buy energy?
So here's my answer to this.
Okay, I got an answer too.
Because I'm fired up about the ceiling fans.
Yeah.
Remember that if you work for the government and you're like the government equivalent of an entrepreneur, with mm-hmm. a big idea, you've won.
That's the most laughable thing.
Your job is finished, and you're a winner forever. As soon as you make the elevator pitch, your job's done at the elevator pitch.
Right. Yeah.
So your question presupposes that the ceiling fans will reduce energy consumption. There are so many examples of when it does, and I'm so fired up about this. One thing I want to remind the listeners of is that, you know, I hate the gas cans as much as you do, the plastic gas cans. There was this night.
Wait, the plastic what?
I'm going to talk about plastic gas cans for just a second.
Oh, gas cans.
Because it's
an
analogy to this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I looked up all the rules for plastic gas cans. That started in 2007.
Was it seven? I thought it was under Baby Bush.
And I broke down. My Airstream van broke down in front of Twin Arrows Casino out on the interstate.
Yeah.
I unloaded my smart car. I drove over to Twin Arrows. I bought for $45 a five-gallon can.
Yep.
Filled it with diesel. Drove to the Airstream. Tried to get as much of the diesel as possible into the Airstream despite the stupid nozzle. And still not off the peg. So I went back to Twin Arrows, and I did this for four times, so 20 gallons, and I finally got about 1/8 indication because of those 20 gallons, 16 ended up on the interstate. And so
this is why I say that the politicians, they all need to go up there and prove to me
they can
pour the gas. That's what needs. Okay, the new one's a ceiling fan.
Right.
What are they asking?
Well, so just remember that the rule, when they passed the rule for the cans, it was to prevent 0.3 grams per gallon of loss to the atmosphere,
and
instead it was 16 gallons loss right into the earth.
Mark, that's your same experience, right? It's pouring all over the place.
All over yourself.
Listen, don't buy a five-gallon gas can, a new one. You got to buy a gallon or 2.5 at the max because it is so complex. It's too heavy hold and do it. That'll be the next thing. They'll ban the five-gallon one because it loses too much gas because of their stupid configuration.
Well, if you think you can do it, get a 30-pound weight. Hold it out in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, arm's length.
Yeah.
And see how long you can hold it there.
How long can you hold
that? You're going to need about 10 minutes for that to empty into the gas.
So I'll give you the really quick update in the ceiling fan. Yeah. I brought a briefing sheet for you. First of all, it's $820 million, so it's $1 billion. So remember, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking real money.
A billion for what?
For the ceiling fan mandate, to implement the mandate.
So is that
the manufacturers?
Yeah.
The manufacturers?
That's the cash cost to get America from current ceiling fans to next generation ceiling fans.
So I don't know how many ceiling fans they sell a year, but that has to be absorbed in the cost mm-hmm. of your new ceiling fan.
Americans would be one, regardless of what part's manufacturer and what part's consumer.
You're $1 billion poor.
Americans will be $1 billion poor.
You're $1 billion poor because of the government.
Okay,
don't worry, you're going to save energy.
So here's my point about this. The point with those plastic gas cans was to prevent 0.3 grams of greenhouse gases to get out, and it turns out to be orders of magnitude, 1,000 times, maybe 10,000 times worse than the old gas can, right? Because we went from vapor spillage to massive liquid spillage. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. Well, with the ceiling fans, if it works, if they're done at the elevator pitch and there's total perfect success.
Which it won't.
Right, but if they were.
It won't.
First of all, ceiling fans are a totally insignificant consumer of energy.
Yeah, Bruce, wait.
Yes.
Nobody even turns them on.
Yeah.
We usually put them in our house on.
They're mandated to begin with.
What's
right?
that?
Oh, we use ceiling fans every night.
Okay. Most people I bet you half people out there have not turned. There's so much dust it won't even spin.
Every
at this
new
point.
Construction. Right. I buy a lot of new construction houses. So I always have ceiling fans in them that I didn't ask for. Right. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, the goal is only to reduce by 9%. what ceiling fans use.
Okay.
So that's
which is almost nothing already.
Which is nothing to begin with.
Right. That's the aspiration is to save 9%. And furthermore, of that 9%, which is an average, almost all of that is for what they call belt-driven. I've got it here somewhere. It's almost all from belt-driven fans, which nobody has.
Nobody has that. Nobody has
which nobody has. Yeah. And
take it back. My 1927 house had an attic exhaust fan that was belt-driven. Right.
And that's probably vintage classic stuff.
Yeah. High-speed belt-driven, HSBD.
Those hardly exist.
Okay. Right? Hold the thought. Hang on. I want to get into this deeper, but it's another perfect example of how they've plucked all the low-lying fruit, and there's just nothing left. They're trying to appease these radical... I don't know what they're trying to do. They're trying to destroy life in America, I think, is what they're trying to do. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Go ahead and get those comments and talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right. Thanks to my great sponsors here, including Just Wireless. Now, this is something you could actually do that helps the environment, which is instead of throwing out your old smartphone, you actually go, you can go bring it to Just Wireless. You can get it repaired. Senator Wendy Rogers just sent me a text. She went to Just Wireless and got a new battery, I think she said, for her iPhone. So Just Wireless will do that. There's something real you can do for the environment. Plus, they're a great line of refurbished phones, so that way you don't have to go spend, I don't know, a fortune. You're going to probably be spending $10 a gallon on gas here soon, so save it for that and go get a great refurbished phone from Just Wireless. They'll take care of you. Right there on Milton Avenue, West Flagstaff, as I-17 comes into town. Also, thank you to Diamond Auto Glass. If you get a rock chip in your windshield, remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first. Here's why. If you call your insurance company, what happens is they're using these glass companies, like the national chain, as like a call center. And what they do, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to route you to another company, which may cause you serious delays out there. Diamond Auto Glass is a place that me and Angela have gone to for years to get our glass repaired or to extend it for longer, because you get that rock chip, they can actually go in there. They have this little tool, looks like a little gun, and they fill it. So if you've had glass coverage from Diamond Auto Glass before, just go on in. It takes 10 to 15 minutes. It's included with your coverage. If not, get a new windshield from them if it's that bad already, and then you'll have that coverage going forward. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first. Here's the number, 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. Or you can check them out online and go to The Difference Is Clear. That's The Difference Is Clear. Go to Diamond Auto Glass. That's where me and Angela go. Hang tight. Back in just a few. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show. This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back here with Bruce Sidlinger and Mark Howitt, talking about how the government's screwing up everything. And how we're letting them, though. On yesterday's show, who was I with? Angela, I think. And I said, if you work in the government, in the bureaucracy, let them know that enough is enough. Say, hey, okay, let's stop bugging people. I don't know what else to do other than starting to annoy them so much. Stop harassing us. We're not children. We don't, I left home a long time ago. You guys did too. We don't need that oversight on every single thing. To me, we're talking about the ceiling fan regulations. Who put this out? Yeah. Which idiotic?
Department of Energy.
Just another one that should be boarded up.
Do you remember, Jeff, a year ago, I think it was a year ago, for your show, I spent like days reading every word of that ridiculous Flagstaff climate action plan.
Oh, yeah.
And then I did a word cloud analysis where it counts all the keywords.
Okay.
And social justice, remember social justice appeared like 171 times. I'm not, don't quote me on that, but if you go back to the show, it was a ridiculous thing. Well, the real answer to the ceiling fans, you read all these things and you're saying, why are they doing this? It's 0.9, it's 9%. This is ridiculous, and that's aspirational. There's no way they'll achieve it. And plus, plus, when they talk about that cost, I'm sure they aren't. Like, when I lived in California, to replace a cracked toilet, you had to pull a building permit, and then the building inspector came out. Obviously, you're going to have to pull permits for the ceiling fans in some jurisdictions.
Oh, no.
You're going to have to.
Hang on a second. Do you have to do that now?
Like, so...
Because now you're going down another road, Bruce.
But I don't want to get too distracted. But
I think it's worth talking.
We're moving further and further that direction in the construction world where you require a permit for everything. So, for example, it used to be no permit for fence, and then they're like over-the-counter permit for fence, and now it's a minor improvement for fence, and which is a higher level of permit. And so they make it harder and harder. And, you know, a great example is, okay, you got the inspector to come out to look at whatever. He had to drive across town using energy.
Exactly.
And it's not just mechanical energy, it's human energy.
Yes.
That's a human that could be doing something productive.
Waste of taxpayer dollars.
Well, plus the entire lifetime emissions of the bureaucrats that are going to implement this program. Right. And enforce this program. Yeah.
So another example, though, is the water heater.
Yes.
You used to... there was
there
a time,
no permit.
Yeah, there was a time, it wasn't that long ago, folks, where you didn't even need to get a permit for a water heater. You change it as on your own individual home. Well, you take the risk of that. Most people hire a plumber. So in Arizona, plumbers have to be, not all states have licensed contractors, but in Arizona, you have to have a licensed plumber.
Right.
You're supposed to, right? They're supposed to be licensed, I should say. They're going to come over. You would think that as a consumer, you've done your own research and that they're licensed, they're bonded, they're insured, so that they blow up your house or flood your house, you're going to be covered, right? Why do you need some building inspector that honestly doesn't know a lot about water heaters, not like a plumber? They come and look at the basic stuff. So then they required, hey, you got to get a permit over the counter, right? Am I right on this history?
Yes.
And that wasn't an inspection, though. They just wanted their money.
Just wanted their money.
Now... is it an inspection?
An inspection. Yes.
What a waste.
Yes.
And that, what a waste.
Yeah, the over-the-counter, no inspection thing was ridiculous. That's just saying, we want
we
money.
Want your money. But they looked foolish, so they're like, oh, let's send someone out, and we'll also quadruple the fee or whatever.
And the over-the-counter thing is like every government requirement that magically turned out to be not necessary during COVID when all the government wanted to work from home.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Even FAA, even flying, all the deadlines for current stuff just got pushed out during COVID because they said, we're not coming into work, so you keep flying.
So there was a time, just to stick with the water heater as an example, where water heaters weren't that safe. We're talking early 1900s, and you'd literally see them shooting up because the pressure would build up a long time ago because they didn't have the pressure relief
valve. Yeah, the temperature and pressure relief valve. If it stops, it won't shut off and just keeps heating up.
Yeah.
You don't want it to blow up. And
rocket ship.
So it's got a TMP, and you should check it every once in a while, like make sure it's working.
Now they've added, so just in the past few years, your water heater, because of government regulation, people, has gone from $500 to probably $1,500 to get one installed. If you're lucky, you have to have expansion tanks, all this extra stuff. I'm like, why do I need an expansion tank and a TPT?
You know, TMP,
pressure relief line or whatever. That's government. Now these same people are going to say, oh, we want affordable housing. Everybody's having a tough time. Let's have some programs to help people afford their housing. Go back to the way it was, how it worked for 100 years. Yeah. Same thing with the gas can.
Except they don't care about you. And
I know they don't care
fine.
About me. That's why all of you need to start in there. Look, nicely say, you know, this is too much. When you go, look, I know that the person in front of you in line who's complaining is a pain in the butt because I'm that person usually. When the person in front of you is saying, you know what, it never used to be this way. This is a ridiculous charge. Can you let your supervisor know that this is stupid? This is a ridiculous charge. We never used to do that. And I'm going to send an email to my council member and mayor as well. If enough people would actually do that and not be like, oh, this person's annoying me in line because they just won't stop rocking the ship. Start rocking the ship with these people. That's the only way you're ever going to change this stuff because they don't want to be annoyed because they really don't like you. They really don't want to see you and be bothered by you.
Here's a great example. So we have a vacation rental, short-term rental, you know, the Airbnb type thing down in Sedona. Okay, so Sedona was early on to adopt the state-allowed fee, you know, licensing fee.
Oh, for the short-term rental. Okay,
for the short-term rental. And the state didn't say if it was supposed to be a one-time fee or if it could be annual. So all these cities and...
they're all annual.
They're all annual. What do you get for that licensing? Well, you get another staff member at City Hall that makes sure you buy the license.
Yeah. Yeah, just like minimum wage. Just like the minimum wage has
there's no test. Everything has a driver's license.
It's somebody to enter in the data or whatever.
The first thing any local legislator thinks about is the first thing is how many jobs will this create in City Hall?
Yes. That's all.
Then they say, you don't have you have to have a sales tax license.
Yeah, TPT license. Yeah.
TPT license.
Transaction privilege tax. The privilege to do business.
There's a reason for that, and I can explain that. Okay. But I'm like, why do I need that? My company, I use VRBO. They collect the sales tax. They remit it to the state. They have the license. Why do I have to have a license that, or a transaction privilege tax license, in addition to the annual license fee?
Yeah.
Why do I need that if I don't have to report any tax? And they're like, well, we won't let you be in business without it. I'm like, but I'll never have to pay any money on this. And I have one, so I just was giving them a hard time to help them see logic.
Yeah, you were that guy in the line.
Yeah, I was that guy in the line.
Well, I've seen the consequences of this in Texas, because in Texas, there's a lot of things that trigger you to have a sales tax license.
Yep.
The minute you have a sales tax license, then all at once, you're subject, even though theoretically you should have done it anyway, the minute you have a sales tax license, you're subject to use tax. You're supposed to look for anything that bought out of state and remit taxes. That doesn't come up unless you have a sales tax license. That's probably what TPT gets to eventually.
There's always an angle. There's always an angle.
Okay, little history on the TPT. Most states have sales tax.
Right.
We have transaction privilege tax. The difference is, in Arizona, the seller is responsible for the tax, not the buyer. Now, the reason for that is states can't tax the federal government. But we can tax the contractor that works for the federal government, and then in that way, sort of tax the federal government and get more dollars from the state.
So it's a money thing.
So, and then we also have a use tax for when TPT doesn't get you, then the use tax.
Yeah, they started that that never existed either. The internet brought that in. Yeah, so like you're ordering more. And
for example, if you buy a car out of state,
yeah,
you bring it back to the state, you have to pay use tax because TPT wouldn't get you.
Yeah, so you just wonder tax. Though, because they used a big printer as an example. You got to buy a printer from out of state, this big like commercial printer. Sure. Okay, you didn't pay tax on that, but how much business is coming from out of state where Arizonans are shipping stuff out? So in the end, does it even make any money? Does it even do anything? But they'll never research.
Back to my TPT thing. So I was pretty mad about that. And so I have to file every month that I had zero to file.
You still got to file, though.
Every month, zero, year after year after year after year. And once their computer system was down, I couldn't file. And by the time it came back up, I had forgotten. So what do? They fine me for not filing. And I'm like, I didn't owe you anything. And that happened again this year. And that's just.
So I got one more sentence on this.
Yeah, go ahead. This is and Bruce's talking about new regulations for ceiling fans.
I want to tie this back to why I talked about the climate action plan and the word cloud about social justice. Here's the real punchline. Here's why we're doing the ceiling fans. This is verbatim out of the DOE, out of the Federal Register.
Department of Energy.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's now a Federal Register. It's now a real thing.
Oh, wow. That sounds serious.
Anyway, it says this is the real reason, not all that other stuff. There are other important unquantified effects, including certain unquantified climate benefits, unquantified public health benefits from the reduction of toxic air pollutants and other emissions, unquantified energy security benefits, and here's the big one. And distributional effects.
What does that mean?
Well, unquantified means that's good for the environment, right? That's the
definition. Unquantified means they don't know. They think there's an impact.
There's no data.
Okay, so we haven't found it yet, but we probably will somehow. Somebody will come up with a PowerPoint.
And the biggest one, and I've got to go back and now, whenever the last phrase of a big long sentence like that is always the evil one. It's always the one they hope you won't get as far. And I've got to go now. In a deep dive for what distributional effects means, I guarantee it's bad. I guarantee it's going to be something about redistribution wealth, wealth.
Wait. I'm slow here. Read that last sentence again.
I'll let you read it.
No, I don't want to read it. My head may blow up.
Plus, you're the only one with glasses on here. Right?
Yeah, I'm reading out of the.
Federal, I don't know how to read those big words.
This is out of the Federal Register for Energy Conservation Program.
Okay,
Energy Conservation Standards
for the ceiling fan. Why are they doing this?
Fans. There are other important unquantified effects.
One.
Including certain unquantified climate benefits.
Two.
Unquantified public health benefits from the reduction of toxic air pollutants and other emissions. comma, unquantified energy security benefits. Not energy savings, energy security benefits.
Okay.
And distributional effects, among others.
Among others.
It's the most non-committal sentence okay, ever. So they, but the evil is the distributional effects.
Yeah, unquantifiable four times in there, meaning they can't really show anything.
Right.
But you could then, they could then apply that sentence to anything. Let's talk about it more when we come back. Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Unquantifiable.
Yep.
I want to give that to my customers. How much is it going to be?
Unquantifiable. All right, if you're thinking about selling your home, call Kelly Broaddus. Look, only agent that I would call in the Flagstaff and surrounding area if I was selling a home right now. It's Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. She can quantify the difference that she gets when she sells a home because it is quantifiable. If you're calling a real estate broker, real estate agent, and saying, I don't know, I can't quantify that, then run the other way like you would from the federal government. Look, Kelly Broaddus does a great job. She's on the show recently talking about how she puts a lot into these homes as far as staging them, aerial shots, photography, all kinds of stuff that I never even really thought of. But that's why she and her team are the absolute best at making sure you get top dollar. Kelly Broaddus will be able to help you out. Let me give you her number, 888-446-5602. That's Kelly Broaddus at 888-446-5602. And by the way, you can get the value on your home estimate, really good estimate, at NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. That's NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. Go check that out and make sure you use Kelly Broaddus. She does a great job. Also, thank you to Zero Res of Northern Arizona. Zero Res, they'll get the carpet clean, the fabric on your vehicles. They take care of all of that. They're doing an excellent job. And they've got Puppy Love is the special right now, 20% off on pet-related services at Zero Res of Northern Arizona. Go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com, enter in Puppy Love. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Welcome back, where we try to quantify things in unquantifiable means,
Jeff,
and ways.
I wasn't 100% sure I could define this term, so I wanted to look it up to make sure I knew what the federal government was saying. So I went to Merriam-Webster Dictionary online, you know, and it says unquantified is an adjective. It means not quantified by a quantifier. And it's an unquantified term, or definition B.
So it's a circular definition.
Or definition B, containing no quantifier, an unquantified expression.
This is
why you have to keep real books in your house, old dictionaries.
Yeah, good point.
And I have...
Because the digital ones, they can change.
Well, all my movies I have on Laserdisc and DVDs and VHS. Jeff, I gotta have two more sentences on the stupid gas cans. First of all, just to tell you, remember that even though the result of that gas can, in my experience, is that 80% of the fuel ends up on the pavement under your vehicle, which is three or four orders of magnitude, maybe five orders of magnitude over the 0.3 grams of allowable emissions.
It's quantifiable.
And remember that clearly, no politician ever tried to use one of those cans. They never tried to pour from the can into the car, or maybe if they didn't care.
No, but let me just tell you, they don't know how.
But let me just tell you why the gas cans cost $40 now for a plastic can. In case you've wondered that. Here's one of the myriad requirements in the 2007 standard. It says, I'm going to read this literally because you won't believe it if I paraphrase. Perform a slosh test by filling the portable fuel container to 40% of its capacity and rocking it at a rate of 15 cycles per minute until you reach 1 million total cycles. Use an angle deviation of plus 15 degrees to minus 15 degrees from level.
Wait. Do you do this after you fill the can?
No. Well, right.
Is that what they're saying?
This is to approve the design.
Oh, okay, okay.
They're saying that if you want to manufacture a fuel can,
that's what you've got to do to test it.
Because it makes.
I thought
no
they wanted
sense.
Me to do this before I poured it.
No, it makes
heavens long before this.
Right, okay. I'm with you now.
If you've ever looked at the staggering cost of those cans,
yeah.
And I've always thought, well, wait a minute, is this a breakdown of the free market? Because how come the convenience, if this convenience store is marking up by 400%, how come the next convenience store doesn't mark up by less and get the business? It's all that this money it's all the, went yeah, to the slosh test.
It's the slosh so, test.
Jeff, you always talk about that. You talk about the labor rapture, and here's what happened:
a million.
They've
sloshes.
Got guys in rooms sloshing these things around.
Like, it's like okay, it's like this. You go to you're like you're into wine, and you're like. Wafting it over, sloshing sure it over. Right. It's kind of like that, right?
So I've got other exciting news.
Yeah, wait. We've got to stop this.
So if
I mean, we've got to stop doing stuff like this.
Well, the
this.
Way to stop it is for everybody that has a useful skill to take a 2-week vacation simultaneously. That yeah, stops
this,
everything.
Yeah, yes. Just go total boycott of everything at this point of labor.
Imagine all the plumbers and electricians staying home for 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it, especially in the wintertime. Yeah. And everybody's pipes are frozen. Plumbers just like, well, we're not going.
You had something.
Yeah, so if I take my own gas can and I slosh it a million times, and it doesn't leak. Can I keep it?
I know. Well, here's what people are doing real quick. They're getting alternative gas cans, which if the government truly did this for safety reasons and for the environment and this and that, which they didn't because clearly there's something deeper here. There are people literally using all kinds of alternative plastics, alternative things, making nozzles. Here's what I do.
If you care about the earth, you'll do that because
otherwise, you're going to have gas
all over the ground.
Here's what I do. I tried the government gas can time and time again. It doesn't work. It's never going to work. They keep changing. I take the cap off. I bought a big funnel until they make funnels illegal. I'm going to go buy 10 more after the show and I dump it right in and I punch a hole in the top where the vent used to be. This is idiotic.
Here's the conspiracy theory. Okay. What if the government wanted it to pour all over yourself so you're like, this is the last time I ever buy a gas-powered car.
I'm going to get
an EV car that I never have to run out of gas again.
Maybe what it is. You know what? Ron DeSantis actually did bring this up, that we need to fix the gas can. Now, he was probably in Congress when they approved this thing, you know, to mess up the gas can. We'll have to look at that voting record.
Was this even a congressional law, or was this just something the EPA made
up? It was probably a rule, you know.
This is all Federal Register. Everything I do is, like, tied to
Federal. But was it a law, or was it a rule from the ding-dongs bureaucrat?
It's
not even a law. So Congress just go in, grow a set of cojones, you wimpy Congress people. Go in there and change. Look, this is something you could change tomorrow and make a big difference in America and say, yeah, you know, we're Americans. We can pour gas again. It's just absolutely brain dead. All right. We got more of this next hour, including I want to get into the wage thing and the tipping thing.
Oh, the tipping and the surcharges.
Oh, and okay, there's a big hurricane obviously bearing down, getting close to Florida. I hope it's not big. You know, they've gotten some disaster ones, but of course, this is the biggest ever generational hurricane. Well, every time.
It's the
every
first
time.
Of many to come because of climate change.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, stick around. More to come back in just a few minutes. Hi, this is Jeff Orvitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4-bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single-room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity. This portion of the show is brought to you by Zero Res of Northern Arizona.
You're listening to The Jeff Orvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. You know, the culture has changed so rapidly in America. I mean, I don't think any of us could have envisioned what's happened in just the past couple years.
Mark. Oh, it's affecting our studio here. I mean, we are now transmedia. We used to be radio, and now we've got video cameras in here. We're transitioning transmedia.
I got to remember the camera because I'm doing a face plant right now. You know, I was watching. We like to watch Star Trek. a lot. Like, we like the original one. Or,
yeah.
No, original. All of them. Next Generation. I like Star Trek Voyager. You know,
there's only one for me.
Okay, but I like a lot of them, right? Star Trek Voyager.
If it has layers, if there's lasers, I like it.
Okay, so Star Trek Voyager is from, I want to say, early to maybe mid-90s until maybe 2000 or so. You know, it's a while back now.
It's way back.
But we watch this episode, and they get on this world, and it's all girls. Right. And they lured like one of the guy, Voyager crew members or whatever. So once all these girls are, you know, very good looking and they're all over them. Right. And
so this is like the Star Trek version of Wonder Woman's Island. Right.
Yeah. Maybe it's that one, but I don't remember that one. So right there, I know I'm like, oh, warning. You know, if all these girls start liking you all of a sudden, something's wrong. This world's jacked up. There's no guys. Right. There's no guys. And they ask him a question about, well, how they, you know, on their world, how do they get together? This is Lieutenant Kim or whoever it was, right? Guy. And he's like, well, you know, men and women get married. Said something like that. You know, marriage is between, he basically said, you know, marriage is between a guy and a girl, a man and a woman, right? Oh, yeah. And I was like, this was Star Trek in like 1994. Star Trek is pretty leftist progressive. I mean, they're all communists floating around in ships. They don't have money, right?
Right.
And this was mainstream, like progressive stuff just back then. That wasn't that long ago. But you look at what's changed now.
Well, and then later, I'll give you a 2019 example. You don't have to go back. Yeah, you only have to go back to 2019.
I just found it fascinating because nowadays you'd be like that. The whole cast, the producers would all be canceled. And how dare you, you know, this and that. So anyway, the big difference. And then now you got this case. So a judge has ruled against a sorority or members of a sorority who was opposing a transgender who got in, right? So sorority is girls, right?
Right.
Right. I mean, pillow fights. No, I'm just kidding.
Pajamas and pillow fights, right?
I'm sorry, folks. Anyway, sorority is girls, right? And so this guy apparently had the mindset that I just had. And he's a girl now, right? So he shows up, and they're like, these girls, a few of the girls are like really creeped out. I don't know how all of them aren't creeped out. Because he's like living there, right?
Right.
And I saw a picture of the guy. He's a dude, man. You know?
He's not even taking it good.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. It's Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. That was back in the like early, mid-90s, probably the same time. And remember, it was like, he's a dude. He's a man. And that was like, that was comedy just not too long ago. Now I'm probably get canceled here by the end of the show here, but whatever. So anyway, the judge rules University of Wyoming chapter voted to admit, and more broadly, a sorority of hundreds of thousands approved, said the judge Langford, with its inquiry beginning and ending there. The court will not define woman today. The delegate of a private voluntary organization interpreted woman otherwise undefined or unquantified, like we talked about last hour, in the nonprofit's bylaws. So he's basically saying, hey, the bylaws didn't define what a woman is. So I'm not doing that for you. So anyway, long story short, the judge threw out these girls who are in the sorority who like don't want a dude there.
No, he did more than that.
He threw it out because he says you didn't define it in your book.
He did more than that. He threw out the English language. Come on. It's a sorority. It's not really a fraternity, not brotherhood. It's sisterhood.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Folks, we can sum this up for you. If you have XX chromosomes in the trillion cells in your body, every single one of them, you are a woman. If it's XY chromosomes in every single one of your trillion cells, you are a man. And if you've got some freaky condition where you've got multiple chromosomes, we can deal with that.
Oh, yeah, it's an unusual. Look.
Is this officially our transgender segment? I have a item.
Okay, you know, well, I don't know if it's a segment. But let's hit your item. I just want to say, hey, if you're an adult, and it's like those folks that are fighting this in Cottonwood, over the minors going to the drag shows on city property, yeah, this and that, we have gotten into in the past transgender surgery for minors, for little kids and things. I mean, can we not agree as a society that's wrong? How can we not agree upon that at this point? And really, how can we not agree at this point that you send your kid off to your daughter off to college, right? And you're like, okay, get involved, you know, join the sorority, join the clubs, and then all of a sudden they're living with a dude. I mean, do these people not see the potential hazards that could happen? Go ahead, Bruce. I'm at a loss for words.
Well, I want to do my recurring feature of you're not crazy. because I'm filled with self-doubt. Yeah. You know, it's I'm filled with self-doubt when I think everybody is disagreeing with me. It's Occam's razor. You look at yourself and you say, have you gotten stupid? Are you wrong about
right.
something?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I've said over and over again, a lot of my best friends, including probably my single closest friend is gay, lesbian.
Yeah.
I used to live in an arts complex where 100% of my friends were gay or lesbian. I've always been completely supportive of this community and get along with them and appreciate, there's some uniqueness. I mean, in general, gays and lesbians are just like anybody, they can do anything, but they also often make uniquely amazing contributions to worlds according. I mean, okay. I don't want to be stereotypical,
there's a point to this.
Okay.
And I want to say, as you're adult, I don't care. It's not about that. It's just the right. basics that we should agree on in right. society, so, which is kids shouldn't, that should just be outlawed. If you're under 18, you should not be doing these transgender surgeries. And also, women's spaces should be protected for women. Women's sports should be protected. I know there's a group right now because Arizona actually has a law that the legislature did, Save Our Sports Act. It was for women. You know, you can't have a guy performing, 300-pound guy coming on to the softball team and all of a sudden getting all the records and this and that. There's an outside group suing the state over.
Of course.
Of course. Go ahead, Bruce.
So I've always said that I'm completely pro GLB, gay, lesbian, okay. bisexual, but I've said, here's the thing I don't agree on, though. I'm 99% with this agenda, but I know children, and also I remember the McMartin preschool case where there was social contagion and as a believer in social contagion and as a person who as a teacher understands children, you can't. Minors don't have their minors don't know everything yet, and so here's my example right from the source. The first government official that was openly transgender is Dr. Rachel Levine. Okay. I think she's head of Health and Human Services.
HHS. Right. Okay.
Okay. This is. I have a video. We won't play it because of copyright or whatever. But this is like from a video. Here's the quote. She says, "Quote: I have no regret." She transitioned when she was 54. From male to female.
This is a dude.
From male to female recently.
Okay.
She said she had already been married for 23 years and raised two children, both of whom are now young adults. And she said, here's the quote. I have no regrets.
Raised two children. Had a woman, impregnated a woman.
Right.
Okay.
All here's
right.
the quote.
I just want to, I got to keep this straight, Bruce.
Here's the mind blowing quote okay. where everybody.
So she was a dude.
Right, so okay. So I'm being a trans exclusionary radical feminist as okay. a man, right? And I keep thinking, is that wrong? But no, I'm not crazy. Here's what she says, quote: I have no regrets because if I had transitioned when I was younger, then I wouldn't have my children. I can't imagine a life without my children. Levine said during a 2019 speech about gender care, which I can play for you offline. And she said, despite her own experience, she thinks it should become easier for other kids to start treatment as teenagers, even if it costs them the ability to have their own children later in life.
Well, wait. He's saying that I'm glad that I had kids because I was a guy, and right. that's the best thing basically that's ever happened in my life. But I think we should allow this surgery very young on for kids.
But has now had an epiphany that you should be able to make that, irreversible.
That's just somebody going along, tone along with the propaganda.
No, we're seeing this already. Like there's kids.
Well, the director of Health and Human Services isn't going along with it. Is making
they're
it.
Making
they're
it. Making.
They're defining. They're defining the standards.
Yeah.
So that we've seen kids already grown up who've had girls who've had their breasts removed.
Oh, detransitioners.
Yeah, they're trying. They're like they can never now breast. Feed some of them can never have children.
What's much more serious is the hysterectomies.
Hysterectomies, right? Then you can never have kids. You've talked a child into this who doesn't have their whole. Even as an adult, though, I think if you're a quote unquote doctor or surgeon and you're performing gender altering surgeries, I mean, to me, that is on the same exact level as what they were doing in the Holocaust.
The kids,
human experiments right. on people.
You're talking Goebbels stuff.
Yeah.
No, was that him? Was that the Mengele. Sorry.
Well, Goebbels was the propaganda.
Goebbels was the propaganda minister. Mengele was the medical guy.
Joseph.
That did all kinds of, yeah, absolutely. All right, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Crazy stuff out there. And I think that, you know, as someone who has two girls myself, I'm like, and one of them's in college, and the other one, Olivia, I'm like, I want to be able to send them off to places and not have to think. But you have to, as a parent,
at what point do you have to think about this. Do we start convicting people for crimes against humanity when you take a child and you manipulate their genitals?
We'll never be forgiven for this.
There's no time. We're doing trials against Trump. I mean, right? I mean, we got to do that. That's what's more important to these people nowadays. That is the wag the dog issue. Yeah. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Go ahead and get those comments in. And hey, subscribe to that podcast. If you're listening right now, hit that button. I appreciate it. If you're not, if you haven't subscribed, do it right now. All right. Timberline Firearms and Training. Look, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Timberline's where I go for, first of all, the indoor shooting range. Man, it's a beautiful shooting range. On your way in, you get all the accessories, firearms, Liberty safes, you name it. What Timberline also does is get you trained. You know, if you're new to firearms, Bruce just handed me his carry concealed permit, which he got out at Timberline Firearms and Training. Do a great job. Rob Wilson personally teaches that one. Head on out there, Timberline Firearms and Training. They're going to take really good care of you. You better call first if you want to book one of these courses because they go really fast. 928-526-7900. That's 928-526-7900. One more thing. Don't forget about Thursday, which is Ladies' Day. Ladies' Day, you women out there, you get to go shoot for $11. That includes a gun rental. You just got to buy the range ammunition. 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. I just
had to give you that one item because that's you're not crazy.
You start to think back to Star Trek. Right. You start to think you went through a wormhole in an alternate reality, and it's like you're the weird one all of a sudden.
Right.
You know, this is topsy-turvy, and it's hard. Mm-hmm. But I think there's so many quiet Americans. That's why I've been saying, start talking about this stuff with. I know it's hard at the, you know, when you're meeting up with people and there may be differences, but those people that are, you always talk about this, Mark, swayable. Those people that are like, they know something's wrong. And if they're rabid leftists, don't waste your breath. You're not going to educate them. But most people are pretty common in the middle. What's the number you give? 20, 30, 40%?
20% of people are swing voters.
Okay.
There you can talk sense to them. And if you make a good, reasonable argument and you give them a hug, you can probably convince them to your side.
I had someone recently that came up to me that shocked me. It's a pretty strict Democrat voter. Like, I can't vote for this guy again.
No, a lot of the Democrats, I
can't do this. This guy is out of his mind.
It's not just the Biden dementia thing. A lot of them have seen, you know, they stood for Democrats because they were pro-union or this thing. Or, you know, they cared so much about the poor, they wanted welfare programs. But when it got to this woke thing and the transgender thing and all the new agenda, the new Democrat agenda.
Yeah.
A lot of your traditional Democrat voters are like, what happened to our party?
Yeah. Oh, it's even more than that. It's how, like we were talking about last time, Bruce brought forward this ceiling fan one where they're trying to, I don't know, they're probably going to ruin the ceiling fan. We're not going to go over the gas can again because they've ruined that already. They're starting to get into they've done the stuff that you look at and that some people can say, okay, I can kind of get that. That's fine.
They're getting into the
nooks and crannies.
It's
going to
be like the telescreen in 1984. There's going to be nothing that the government isn't overseeing.
That's what I'm saying. You all got to start. When you're paying that bill at the, you don't need to be a jerk.
People don't seem to have a limit.
I know, but they need to. Look, you don't need to be a jerk about it. You just need to say, look, this is pretty dumb. Let me explain. Oh, and the counterpersonal price. Yeah, I agree. That's what they often say is they're like, I agree with you. This is ridiculous.
I really think I can call you a hypocrite unless you change your own ceiling. The politician I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, change it yourself.
If you vote for something and you don't apply that to your own house, your own car, your own lifestyle, you are the hypocrite. In other words, classic example, Flagstaff City Hall. They're voting for all these climate action things, buses, you know, getting everybody on bicycles. None of them ride bicycles to council meetings.
They have an assigned parking spot for their car, right?
You know, it's until you, if you want change, do it personally as an example. And actually, to his credit, my good friend Adam Shimoni, who is one of my far left friends, he actually does.
Oh, he rides everywhere.
He rides his bike everywhere.
I've always said he's a true believer.
Yeah, it's and that is
that's what fine. That's fine.
If you truly believe what you're preaching, whatever it is, do it. You know, if it's EV cars, buy one.
Live the life. Live the life that you preach.
Solar panels, get them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
So what I think we should do is I think that it to the extent that maybe I think it's all lost. I think we've lost everything. But if you want to try to make it not lost, you should have a pamphlet. I'm thinking about making some pamphlets. This is almost a pamphlet, my briefing sheet today.
Yeah. It's got more than five words.
But I want to make a really brief one.
Okay.
For that I could engage somebody with.
You need a picture.
And I want to say, and here would be the question. The question would be, is the right answer to affirm irreversible, this will do my trans pamphlet, is the correct answer to affirm irreversible gender affirming anything for minors? Mm-hmm. Is there any minimum age? Would you agree to any minimum age?
Because some people say, what's your line? And, that's my, right, my saying is, what's your line?
And if they come back with anything under 18, I would say, allow me to quote our current director of Health and Human Services, the first openly transgender person who transitioned at 54 and said she thanks God she didn't transition earlier.
Okay, so not just for this topic, Bruce, but a lot of topics. Why 18? I mean, we don't let people smoke unless they're 21.
Well, the argument is really 25. 25 is when the brain's fully developed. Right. Certainly 18, though, but I mean, there
you
are
can't,
people.
You can't smoke. You can't drink. You can't
gamble in most places.
Right. But I'm saying 18 is the lowest for any of it. I mean, there's a range of when
you can run for Congress through 25.
Somewhere between 18 and 25 is when you're formed.
But they want people that are 16 to vote.
Well, and
you know, it's like, right. It's like, wait a second. Let's look at this logically. You say I can't smoke or drink in most places till you're 21. You're saying I can't vote till I'm 18, but they would like that to be 16. Let's say they even got their way and they made, you know, kids can start voting at 16. You can't vote till you're 16. There must be a reason why you're like, hey, we got to put some kind of limits on this. But you can decide what gender you are at
9 years
at
old.
Yeah. I mean, how does that even pass the logic test with these people?
Well, Jeff, the reality is parents that do this to their children need to have their children removed from the house. If you're telling your young boy, you know, I think you're really a girl, I'm going to take you down and get your nuts cut off, you'll never be able to have children.
But what about in Canada? Because in Canada,
if you're doing that as a parent, I mean, that's just
child
abuse.
But listen, Canada's a preview, because in Canada, the laws are a little different. And there is a case of a child that came home from school and says, I want to transition. The parent resisted it. And the resistance was child abuse, and that parent and those children were removed from the home.
Yeah. That is how crazy it gets. And Canada is a great example of crazy.
Well, Canada has the what is it, a while ago? It was yesterday's show. We were talking about, me and Angela, the 2-beer minimum that the I didn't even know we had an alcohol czar. I think I got an email comment.
We have not a minimum.
We have an alcohol czar. Yes. I mean, when did we get an alcohol? When did we even start using the term czar?
Is
it a long time ago?
Yeah, about the time you were born, I was born.
It goes way back. Okay. To me, I'm thinking like, that sounds like Russia.
It came from the Cold War days.
Okay.
So we
have an alcohol czar, and there, this person, this guy is saying, 2 beer.
Maximum
per week. Is that going to be
per week?
Not per day.
Like, this is going back to prohibition.
Look, I don't think they can. Well, I don't know about that, but I'm sure Biden's already getting flack, you know, because he's transitioning between his ice cream cone and his beer at the same time. Look, but the fact that he even said that, and you know what they cited? Canada. Canada must already have, and you might want to look this up. It started in Canada. Canada has a 2-beer thing. I don't know if it's a recommendation or what, but the fact that they would even try to intervene in your personal life on something like that, beer, goes to show you how insane these people are.
I sum what the government should be doing, I sum it up this way. Protect me from other people, not from myself.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, or beer.
If you said you were surprised that there was an alcohol czar, I'll tell you why you shouldn't be surprised. There are over 20 million people working for the government in the United States.
Whoa.
20 million.
Yeah. Over 20 million.
Look, 50% of the economic activity in this country is government.
And so
50%,
20 million,
it's 50% of GDP.
If you look at how many people are employed, that means that probably one in, what, six people works for the government. Think about all the people you know, one in six works for the government.
I need a beer. Let's get the 2-beer minimum going. Just a second. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. This is why I, for years, have bought a little bit of physical gold and silver. I know you have as well, Bruce, because it drives me crazy that, you know, they're printing money like there's no tomorrow. You never know what they're going to come up with. I buy gold and silver as an insurance policy. Look, seek out your own financial advice. Do your own research. I'm not the government or your daddy. I don't want you to make the wrong decision. But, learn about physical gold and silver. You can call Desert Gold Exchange. They'll get you up a free investor's kit. Mention a Jeff Orbit show. Look, they're always going to take good care of you at Desert Gold Exchange. But you mentioned me. You mentioned the show. They're going to take extra. They're going to treat you like gold. They keep their overhead low. They pass the savings on to you. They answer any questions you've got out there. Investigate these alternatives. When you're talking about a country that's $33+ trillion in debt, call Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. And don't forget, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first. They're going to take good care of you. Mentioned the show. They've taken care of. We have a few cars, and we get rock chips in them. I think we've got 3 in the Mini right now that I just noticed. Really small, and I'm sure that windshield, since it's, I think BMW makes that car, probably costs a bit. So I'm going to go over to Diamond Auto Glass. They're going to fill that. It usually takes about 10 to 15 minutes to do that. Hopefully I don't need a new windshield. If I do, I know they'll be able to order that and get that right away. And then I'll have coverage going forward with Diamond Auto Glass, where they'll do the rock chip repair free of charge in about 10 to 15 minutes. No appointment necessary. Give them a call, 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Orbit Show. This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
I assure you, this is not beer. This is iced tea. Just so I have not tapped into my 2 beer minimum per week, as according to the government. And that's not a thing yet.
So is this how we're getting around it now? We're calling our beer iced tea.
This didn't work in the past either. All right, let's switch gears. Here with Bruce Sothinger, Mark Howitt. Love your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I got a bunch from just yesterday's show, so I'm sure we'll get a bunch today. Olivia will be with us tomorrow. We'll hit on all those. So I want to admit I was wrong on something that I predicted a couple years ago. I don't mind admitting when I'm wrong.
Really?
It happens.
I can't imagine more. Having to do that, Jeff.
I thought
be so humiliating.
I thought that the universities were going to have an apocalypse as far as student enrollment, because you got virtual education going on. Kids are all just in front of their stuff. A lot of kids go to the school and they're like not even leaving the dorm. They're doing school virtually from the school.
Right.
Which is weird.
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? And you're spending all that money.
It's a 4-year country club camp.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I went there one time is when Isabel was...
It's four years of nonstop partying that society owes every child in America.
Yeah. Right? Isabel was doing her first year. She was in the dorm and these kids were... This one person came out to meet the robot that was delivering the food. They got those robots there. Mm-hmm. And just looked like hadn't been outside in a long time. It was just like, maybe I'm just being judgmental. Maybe they were sick or something. But I just saw a lot of them. It looked like they're in their pajamas. And
you're at the peak bloom of your youth, and you can't walk on campus to one of the 433 restaurants that AAU has on campus.
The cruise ship.
Yeah.
So I thought that there was going to be a huge crash and all these big high-rise dorms and stuff and private and pub, whatever they're building, right? I thought that there's just going to be this big enrollment drop because people would be like, I can just do this online. Or even better, hey, I want to get a 4-year degree in 2 years because I can just do it virtually. That actually makes more sense.
Or even better, go to plumbing
school. But here's
what
happened. And this Northern Arizona University, The numbers are way up. They have the most first-year students ever. I don't know if that breaks down on campus versus off campus, but 9,250 first-year students.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, almost. So we're going to be broaching that, 10,000 student mark before you know, just on the
freshmen.
The freshmen. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah,
so it'll be like a 35,000 student campus undergrad, 35,000 undergrads on campus.
Isn't it like 20? It was over 20 something, right?
Including some attrition at the higher levels. But I mean, by the time you get to the end of the fourth year, if they're bringing in 10.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So they started, NAU announced.
This makes me feel great as a property owner in Flagstaff. I'm going to be able to sell it to NAU pretty soon.
They're going to, it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah. They are buying up every single piece of property that comes available.
And I'm on bus route 10.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just wait. You'll get there. So they started this program called Access to Excellence Program, which provides free tuition for families that have under $65,000 annual income, right? So the kids go to school for free. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think I took that into effect, because I think what's happened is a lot more people realize I can go to that 4 year. Now there could be good and bad with this. And I want to get you guys both get degrees?
Yeah.
Yes. NAU, am I the only,
I've been to five colleges, including NAU is one of them.
Okay. There's nothing on the wall here for me. Sorry. I didn't get, so I'll lean on you guys.
We'll be happy to answer any questions.
I can order one that says I got something from somewhere. Anyway, So are a lot of people going because of this program where they're getting, quote unquote, air quotes, free education at the university? That's probably what happened, would be my guess. Is that a good thing, or is offering something, anything for free, especially when it's coming from the government and taxpayers, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Even if it's education, everybody says you got to get educated, you got to get higher education. Let's start with you, Mark.
I think anything free from the government is bad.
Yeah.
Anything free.
From the taxpayers.
First of all, there is no such thing as free. Somebody is paying the bill.
Yes.
At some point. It might not be for three generations from now because of the debt, but there is no such thing as free. It might be free to you.
Somebody had to pay for it.
Somebody's got to pay for it. In Arizona, you've got a constitutional mandate that tuition at higher education should be as close to free as possible.
Right, as nearly free as possible.
Nearly as free as possible. Obviously, it's not for most people. But what you're seeing with this is wealth redistribution. Mm-hmm. When people are let into college, not based on their academic credentials or their potential, but rather simply because their parents didn't make enough money, that is not a good standard.
Let me follow up on that, because, and then I'll get to you, Bruce. Former Attorney General Mark Brnovich tried to sue the universities a couple times, mm-hmm. The Arizona Board of Regents or whatever, over the near as free as possible, whatever the verbiage is on there, unquantifiable things that we talk about here.
Right. And he was right on that.
He was right, but he didn't get anywhere with it. Nearly free as possible, or what's the word again? Give me the wording again.
As free or as nearly as possible free. Like
supposed to absorb the cost. So it's like the cost. Here's what it costs to go to university. And that's what his argument was. But his argument was, well, yeah, but you've added this big glass building with a bunch of exercise bikes and people have to pay for your greens fee here and all this. Mm-hmm. So you have one thing where it's like, okay, we're providing a basic university experience for people and maybe that should cost $4,000 and that would cover the cost. But since you've gone so crazy, it's $10,000 or whatever.
We talk about that constitutional mandate, but the other part of it is that university does not have to accept everybody. There can be standards for the people that get in, and then for those people, it should be nearly as free as possible.
Okay. But you know, these universities, it's not like we're making an unreasonable demand saying do your thing for free, because these are land-grant universities. It's just like Texas. They're hugely funded by land grants, and then they're funded over again by endowment, and then they're funded again by being exempt from the minimum wage.
Right.
Right? I mean, all they do is take and take and take. Now, I have a different spin on this, Jeff.
Go ahead, because I'm going to have my spin.
Ignore all that stuff and just look at human nature, because I'm constantly saying, wait a minute, we ignore human nature at our peril, all the lessons we've learned over thousands of years. The human nature is if you got no skin in the game, you won't be good.
That,
That's your point. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Yeah. No, that, I think that's
no skin in the game. It's just camp.
I think that's a problem. Look, some people will look at this and say, finally, everybody has access. You know, poor people can go. Your family's making under $65,000. And that may be the case for some people, that you get that star in there who couldn't have gone to school, didn't have the opportunity or whatever. But I want to throw a different take at you here is, what if it actually thwarts some people? Like, what if you recognize that, hey, I just don't have the money to do this and I'm going to go do something else. I got a great idea to start a company here or a business. And what if we're taking away other opportunities now because somebody's going to sit in a university for 4 years? And I'm getting more and more negative on these 4-year degrees, on these, especially when we're talking liberal arts, things like that. I used to have a family member, you got to get a liberal arts degree. This thing is worthless at this point in society. If you got something specific, that's one thing. But what if we're taking away opportunities that these kids could have maybe done something else? Maybe they, like, I'm not going to go to college, but I'm going to go learn how to use that backhoe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go learn how to do, you know, this plumber's looking for help. And how many times have I seen a plumber who's literally the grunt for 5-10 years? And then before you know it, they own a plumbing company. They start their own company and they do very, very well. What if those opportunities are lost now?
Okay. Because they're free. As a contractor, I've been a contractor for over 30 years. I've trained a lot of guys who are now my competitors.
Mm-hmm.
What if instead of giving this money to the universities to the tune of probably $80,000 over 4 years, the state said, hey, Mark, I'm going to give you $80,000 to train this kid. You don't have to pay him.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you $80,000 for him to absorb the cost of dealing with him. And you, in 4 years, turn him into a journeyman carpenter or a plumber or a contractor of some kind.
Nope.
No.
No. Here's why. Because you're the big evil business owner. Mm-hmm. You're getting paid for this. And then you don't want to pay the person that you're training, that's probably going to, you know, get the hot water heater leaking all over the place or whatever. And how dare you're taking advantage of that person, Mark.
And I'm right in the middle of a personal experience with this, because 2 weeks ago, I became officially a student of the Maricopa Community College system.
Oh, really? Okay.
I haven't matriculated yet, but I have my student ID and so forth. And this is because I'm thinking about, I probably won't do it. Based on my research, I may not do it, but I was going to become an aviation maintenance technician.
Yeah, you mentioned that recently. Yeah.
So I went there, and here's the thing. I went there, and I'm talking to some of the other students and to the instructors. And they said, how come you want to do this? And I said, well, you know, it's a useful skill. I'm totally about having skills and capabilities. My whole life has been this way. And then they said, well, what are your qualifications? And I said, well, I've been to 5 colleges. Here's my big, giant resume of colleges and stuff. And they said, you've been to NAU. You're going to hate it here. And I said, why? And they basically said, NAU is like the most luxurious and pleasant and amazing place in the world. And why would you come here, which only has swamp cooler air conditioning, and work really hard to become an aviation maintenance technician if you can get into NAU?
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're diverting children. If you have some kid that could be a plumber, could be an electrician, mm-hmm. they want to go to one of the community colleges. And meanwhile, NAU is saying, why would you go to a community college with a swamp cooler when you can come to Flagstaff, live here, borrow what we don't give you for free, and we'll probably be forgiven.
Exercise room, pool.
And then they'll say, well, I'm not sure I can do it. I'm not sure I'm smart enough. The NAU would say, take any major ending in the word studies, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. You'll do okay.
Studies, gender studies, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Go ahead and get those comments in. Love to hear from you. All right. Someone who shares a lot of the same values as me is Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, and I really enjoy having him on the program. Great episode from last week's show. I think that was last Wednesday's show. We get into environmental social governance. It's Wednesday or Thursday. Check that out. What is ESG? He's been working on. They actually have WT Wealth Management actually has an anti-ESG fund. They also have an ESG fund as well. So, I mean, they go either direction on that one. So I'm glad to hear that. Look, if you want to talk with Glenn Least, I don't tell you who to invest with, how to invest, anything like that. I want you to do your own research. But I think he's worth a call to at least see if you guys fit, see if you share the same values and all that. Glenn's really knowledgeable on a lot of stuff. That's why I bring him in on the program. 928-225-2474. Get a free, no-obligation consultation. Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474. Also, thank you to the Blind Brothers. You know, last year, Angela and I replaced a bunch of blinds in the house, and they did a great job. That's a big loss of your energy. You want to save some energy? You want to do something real for the environment? Go ahead and get new blinds. Call the Blind Brothers right now at 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. They're going to come in, measure everything up, get you the best price on blinds, mention the show, get a half off on installation. It's a great deal right there. Don't do the installation yourself. Go to the Blind Brothers. Brothers.com. That's the blindbrothers.com. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
I was promised by one of the creators of one of the highest minimum wages in the nation that when this happened, I was like, okay, it's going to cost a lot more at restaurants and this and that. And this person actually sat there straight face. I think maybe they believed it. You won't have to tip anymore. They told me this. They told me this. And now
I could have told you, having lived in California, I could have told you that you'll be tipping 30% on any outrageous amount.
Are you telling me the politician lied to me?
Okay, couple things about the crazy Flagstaff minimum wage. In about 2 or 3 years, the wage for the tipped person is going to be the exact same as the wage for the non-tipped person.
It's close now.
Yeah. It's close, and it's going to be the same eventually. So I go out. I eat out a lot. It drives my wife nuts. I eat out every day. I've already eaten out today. I'll eat out again tonight. But
somebody's got to keep it all going, Mark.
What we're seeing in all the restaurants now, not all of them, a lot of them, surcharges. Mm-hmm. And it's not for the employees. The employees don't get this money. So you go into the restaurant, and your burger is $20. And then you get your bill, and there's a 5% surcharge on it. And you're like, why? And they're like, oh, because cost of food has gone up and whatnot. And like, well, then raise the price to $21.
Yeah, so I know what I'm
Be
paying
honest.
For. Yeah, yeah.
Because you go...
Well, they learn from the phone company and the cable company.
Right.
Yeah.
At you the get, fee.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look at your phone, cable, gas, electric bills, it's... Right. Your base cost, and then
somehow my $40 internet service costs $885.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's going to be the same with restaurants. You go in, you get the $20 burger, which is already expensive, then you get the surcharge, then you get the tax, and then you're supposed to tip on top of that total amount. Mm-hmm. And so we went into a restaurant that was counter service. So you go up to the counter, there's not a waiter coming to you, and they they spin the pad around so you can pick what level of tipping you want, and the lowest was 20. It was 20. 25 or 30.
Oh,
I'm like,
my.
This is counter service. You're not even
coming
to my table to take my order.
That's just like town that has 50 and 100%, and 100% it's like support a child to go to college. support your server to go to college, and they literally, with a straight face, ask for 100% tip.
It used to be the counter help. Maybe they would get, when we paid for things with cash, you get the change.
So today,
you'd have the little jar.
Yeah. On my way here, you see my cup. I won't say the name, but on my way here, I stopped at a truck stop.
Yeah.
And I went up to the stand-up counter.
Yep.
And I looked at the prices. It was the cheapest burger was $11. The cheapest side was the plain fries for $4. And the cheapest coffee was $3. And with tax and tip, that's $24. So the cheapest minimum single burger
with fries.
Fries and one beverage, a coffee, with just a normal tip, $24.
$25 is what it takes to get a burger and a drink now.
Minimum.
And I know a lot of people, you go to fast food places, and that used to be the kind of cheaper alternative. I guess it still is, because that's like 15, 12, 10.
Maybe.
Yeah, something. Could it be even more
Sometimes
than that?
Sometimes you can bacon, use the app. There's, if you're willing to eat on sales days and use the app,
well,
and
that's
not
what,
be thinking about what you get, you can eat for nothing. I usually spend $5 a day.
Well, look, so here's my question is... when I used to wait on tables, I made $2.13, which was half of the minimum wage.
I remember these.
Yeah,
days.
You remember yeah. that? And I knew I was working for tips, so I hustled and hustled.
And you gave good service. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty that do still give good service, but I'm seeing a lacking of service out there in many places.
So this brings me to my point. We went out to eat the other night, and a restaurant I like.
Okay.
Apparently, they're short-staffed because a waiter, he looked kind of, modern kid. And I was like, all right, whatever. I can put up with the nose ring and the dude. Whatever. But he had a shirt that was the color of Bruce's, which kind of a mustard yellow shirt. But instead of an Arizona flag.
It's more beautiful than it sounds.
He had the whole shirt.
I like your shirt,
was
Bruce.
Covered with a big middle finger shooting at you. And it said, I do whatever the F I want.
Oh, yeah.
And this is our waiter.
That's the attitude. Well, at least you.
How do you?
At least he
how
said
did you get a job waiting here?
Don't employ that person. I wouldn't have employed
that's
that person.
Excellent work at expectation setting. Right. Because if you get one refill of water, you're going to tip double.
You ain't getting your drink refilled.
Right.
Did he refill your drink?
Yeah, and he actually, saying he did a bad job, but it's just that attitude. Like, you cannot wear a shirt like that to work.
You're representing the business. Right. You're going to, when I used to work in a restaurant, it was, one of them was Perkins. And we wore this awful polyester with the collar and with bow tie.
Oh, yeah.
Right? At the Perkins. right? And it had the stripes and everything. Yep. It was awful. And that was just, you didn't even question that. That's your uniform. That's what they wanted you to do. That's pretty much gone. People don't wear uniforms now, but you would expect them to dress somewhat professionally.
So when you had your $2.13 an hour tipped job, right?
Yeah.
Did it occur to you that it was inhuman if you had never progressed beyond that and were unable to support a family?
No, because I knew this was
the theory of the whole living wage, right? You need to be able to have
a
spouse and two kids and a house.
No. I knew that this was a
learning.
This
something?
Wasn't the final stop on my road to learning and earning and providing in this.
But
and
what if you? Had
this
taken...
was the place I was at in life at that point with ideas of getting out
young,
of that.
Young ladies, if you are interested in a guy and he's working for minimum wage. And has got the FU shirt on.
Yeah, that's a sign.
Do not even look at him. Do not talk
to
this guy.
Think about this. You go to NAU, you spend $250,000, and then your degree ends in the word studies, and so you're going to be a barista for your entire life.
Probably make more money.
So think about this situation. You expect a living wage, and you have to have.
You want to take care of your family on that.
You have to take care of your family right. and get your tuition forgiven.
It's just jacked up, guys. I don't know. I don't listen to my podcast ever, but I might listen back to get some pointers here.
Don't listen. It would be too upsetting.
All right, folks. Have a great night. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Mark. Send those email comments and Olivia will be with us tomorrow. We'll answer all of them. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com and subscribe to that podcast. Have a great, safe night. Take care. See you soon.